Are you ready to
I'm
get
ready.
Down?
I'm ready, Let's man. I'm feeling it right now. I'm feeling groovy.
All right.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Most High Show. My name is David Cleope, and I have two people that I'd love to speak with, Christian and Liz over here, and we're going to be talking about spirituality and sobriety.
Welcome to the Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and all that. Produced, posted, and hosted by people in recovery who have strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is the Most High Show.
Let's start off. I got an outline here that I want to follow, and I want to get your guys' opinions and definitions and all that on these topics, all right?
All right.
So the first question is, what do we talk about when we talk about God?
Hit the buzzer.
Christian?
Oh, I think Liz should go first.
Liz?
All right. what do we talk about when we talk about God?
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, God is dope.
Word.
That's a thing. But I think for me personally, like when I talk about God, I'm talking about like words like faith, words like hope, because I can't have faith if I don't have hope. But that'll make sense later when I like figure out what I'm trying to say. But when I talk about God, it's something for me, it's something that's out there that I can't see. And it's something that honestly saves me from destroying things every single day of my life.
Oh. Mm. Kind of like guide you.
Yeah.
Helps you.
Good orderly direction.
There you go.
Little acronym.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. It's really good. Yeah. You're pressing the buzzer now?
Am I pressing the buzzer?
So,
Emmanuel, you're going to have to go to two a lot, too. So when David's talking, you got to go to two.
So that
you get all
harder.
Three of us. No. Okay. No. So what do we talk about when we talk about God?
Yeah.
That's a really good question. I wonder who asked that.
Who brought that topic up?
You know, so many thoughts in my head about that. You know, that word, that name, God, is so associated with so many things.
Yeah.
I think it's hugely inaccurate. Mm. It's not just inaccurate, it's insufficient in what we are talking about when we talk about God.
When you say insufficient, what do you mean? Like it's too broad of, or it's not is it not focused in on enough on what you mean when you say God?
Yeah, I mean, I think like it's all metaphor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So we have this term that we have all, and depending on what language you speak, right? But mm-hmm. God is the word, and so that's the term. And then, but for somebody, I think 12-step does a really good job of addressing this, but for a lot of us, when we talk about God, we might be talking about a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
Because one person's God might be one thing, and another person's God might be another thing.
Right.
And so so I think when we talk about God, we're talking about some sort of, it's somewhat expressed through us in some way, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we're really talking about.
Cool.
What about you? What do you think?
Yeah.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind, and I don't know how, this is probably like not a great thing, but I think of like supreme. Like I think of God as, you know, the Most High. You know, I think, yeah, there you go. So it really, like, I think of, like, the boss of all things, the one that runs the show, you know. And then the next thought automatically comes, like, it almost, like, turns into a plural to me. Like, people and their gods.
Hmm.
Like, who is God, you know? Who is God to you? Who is God to you? The differences are, and what... And this is the bad part, is that it kind of brings into my mind like division.
Yeah.
You know, people are in their own interpretations of God, you know, and I see that as a problem. You know what I mean? But for the most part, it's, you know, the supreme being, the God that's the thing, I don't want to say guy, but the being that runs all of this, the creator of all things.
Yeah.
It's like a consciousness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a state of being.
Paul Tillich has this thing. He's an older theologian, and one of his thesis is that God is the ground of being. So it is the thing that is existence itself. Mm. And that's a very big, broad stroke on that breakdown. Yeah.
But it's a good one. I mean, I think
that concept.
Yeah, because I think, you know, regardless of people's interpretations of God, I think it all comes down to that. Like, you know, regardless of what you call him or how you worship him or what.
Or even that you're saying him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's why I try to correct myself.
But I mean, like, that's what we do, yeah. Right? We go him. And
yeah.
And so it's weird, right? Why do we do that? Why do we put male attributes to this?
That is thing? That's a great question, and I think it's a just influence to how it's always been brought down.
Well, I think
to
like
us.
When you think about like when you hear it in religious terms, it's mm-hmm. always like the Father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you think about like the Lord's Prayer, we start off with our Father.
Mm-hmm.
So it just immediately male.
Turns into a dude.
Yeah. Which I prefer it to be a male just because like I connect with that. Mm. But I know like some people don't connect with that.
You connect to it because you like you're used to hearing it that way, or you connect because you feel it?
I connect to it because like it kind of depends on what kind of day I'm having, mm-hmm. but sometimes I refer to the God that I speak to as a father.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like yeah. someone who's like parenting me, like yeah. disciplining me, like making sure that I'm doing the things sure. that I need to be doing.
Some accountability in yeah. there maybe.
Yeah.
Making sure you're on the right path.
Yeah.
What do you think about the father, mother?
In that concept of father in the Lord's Prayer, right? In the Christian theology, it's you have Father, Son, and Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. So Son's Jesus, the Spirit is living within us, and then you have God the Father. And I've been working with this with my sponsors. Like I'm really okay with praying to Jesus. Mm-hmm. I'm really okay with praying to the Spirit within.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still not quite, like me and the Father aren't quite, we're not like what you're saying. Like,
yeah.
I'm not quite sure about this dude. Because mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure at some point in time, he's going to whoop my ass. At any moment, I'm going to get spanked. And I'm not sure why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's sense. Like, what do you feel like? There's a disciplining. When you think of God the Father, you think you're automatically going to be disciplined.
I think of discipline.
And judgment, maybe?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I also was sometimes when I go into the father mindset though,
mm.
I'll think about it as like loving, caring, mm. nurturing, going to take care of me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's what a father does for a child.
Right.
You know, I mean, we hope so.
I guess
not everyone has that experience.
Right. I think maybe it's good that I'm in the middle because I totally relate to both. You know, there is an aspect when I think of God, I think that I'm going to be safe. There's like a safety
mm-hmm.
involved in there. It's like everything is going to be okay. There's an aspect of that. You know, God is looking out for me. And then there's also that, man, I'm really screwing things up pretty bad. You know,
that's when he turns into homeboy for yeah. me. I'm like, what's up, homeboy? We need to talk. Like, I've really messed up this time.
Yeah.
Like, I need you.
Yeah.
Come pick me up off the right. side of the road.
Well, that's what's cool about the Trinity concept. Like, even if you're not a Christian or someone like who believes in that faith, right? But just that as a framework, as a mm-hmm. concept, mm-hmm. I think it's so brilliant. That thing exists, and it didn't exist for 1,000 years after Jesus.
Right.
But it's such a great way to break it down because I think it does speak to some of our experience, right? Like we will experience God through others,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, I think that's probably what most of us experience.
Yeah.
And that's the Spirit, you know. And then this concept of God in the flesh, Jesus, this person who's my brother, is there for me, with me, you know, has suffered with me, understands me. Yeah. Like, and then there's this Father who's this creator, untouchable, kind of far off thing. I like that the Trinity, I think, does a good job to break down.
You know what I loved about you just put it out there, because I don't know, you know who's in our audience, but that is such an intense subject.
Yeah.
You know, the idea or the definition of a Trinity, mm-hmm. you know, because it's been debated and talked about, you know, as long as as God's been talked about as far as Christianity is concerned, right? But what I love about that idea, and it was so hard for me to grasp it in any way, shape, or form, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I've had people say, you know, it's like a water. You know, when it freezes, it turns to ice, and then it turns to mist. Right. Then people have said to me, hey, man, it's like an egg. You know, when you boil it, you got the shell, you got the white, and you got the yolk. So, you know, and it really still did. I kind of related to those things as far as the definition is concerned. But one thing I love about the Trinity, to me, it tells me that this all started within a relationship.
Right.
I see, you know, it's like an intertwining of, like, it's almost everything started to me in a fellowship.
So, yeah. Okay, last thing I want to say on Trinity, because I don't want to talk too much about
it. We can go on. I'm like, but this is these questions, wait till the next one.
But right? The origin, when they first came up with the concept of the Trinity, the word was called perichoresis, which means divine dance or mm-hmm. God dance, which means that God is, in those analogies, are all insufficient, because mm-hmm. then God's in this static states. But the initial concept or revelation was that God is moving and in motion in all three states mm-hmm. constantly.
Okay, keep going, because I just thought of something.
Yeah, and I like that.
Yeah,
That like, feels mean, like true to my experience, that it's like, moving, that there's constant, that is in all things happening continually. What did you have?
Okay, so I was talking to my grand sponsor about something I was really, really scared about. And she was talking about dance, right? She was like, okay, so what do you do when you're dancing with someone and they're stepping all over your feet? And I told her, I was like, you just don't dance with them. And she was like, no, but what do you really do? And I was like, you find a new dance partner. And she was like, okay, so now who's that new dance partner? I was like, God. She was like, yeah, that's what you do. Because, like, what she was saying is, like, the fear is stepping all over my feet. It's keeping me, like, not from being able to dance.
Ah, okay.
And then when I move around to God, the dance is beautiful. I'm getting lifted. I'm getting, like, you know, dipped. Pure, like,
is that pirouetted?
You know,
is that,
and that's what you just said that made me think of that. Like, find a new dance partner.
Right.
I like that. Nice. I really like that.
That is good.
But we can go on about this for a long time. So let's get to the next question, all right? And that is, what is spirit?
Who's gonna hit?
Who wants to go first? You guys gotta.
Well, so I want to kick. I'll kick this off. I love talking about all this stuff.
Yeah, me man.
Too, me too. Yeah.
So I did a podcast with a guy. He had me on his show, and he said he wanted me to come on because he said he's not a spiritual person. He's in recovery, works program and stuff, but he says he's not a spiritual person. And I was like, well, I think you are. I think that spirit is that, it's that thing that you can't quite put your finger on. You mm-hmm. can't quite get it. Mm. It's something that happens. Maybe some people might chalk it up to coincidence, or I was just thinking about that. And then here comes this opportunity, or there's these things that happen in our lives that we can't really quite go, oh, that was this. Logic is insufficient in explaining it, and to me that's what spirit is.
What spirit is.
Yeah.
Liz?
We want to pull out the big book and read We Agnostics, all the little paragraphs.
Well, yeah.
You know, because, like, that explains it really well. But with spirit, like, I always think about spirit, I'll keep it simple, like God within. Like the thing that you connect to within yourself. Because, like, when you think about it, like, Right. I have like this alcoholism disease. So I have a mental disease, I have a physical disease, and I also have a soul disease. Mm. And the only thing that can touch my soul is something like a spirit that you can't see. That's the only thing that can put your heal finger it, on, right? You know?
Because
I can't
us.
Touch my soul.
Yeah.
Where is your soul?
I don't know. I just went like this because like, it's
probably probably around here.
Yeah, it's probably like here. It's probably like, I don't know where it is. In my kneecap. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, my knee hurts sometimes.
Do you think your soul
self-will? So.
Oh, does it really?
No, not really. Just put that up.
Do you think your soul and your consciousness is the same?
I think it's intertwined, because I feel like I have to have my soul cleansed so that I can connect to my consciousness. Mm. I think they definitely speak to for
me. I love that.
And within me, like when I meditate and like get like answers to like questions that I have for my God, like that is all where it's coming from. But I have to clear everything out before I can even connect.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah. What about you? Where do you think that do you think consciousness and soul are same or?
You know, like that. This whole definition is. I don't know. When I think about that, when you it's such a short question, but it's so much in it, because I think spirit. Oh, I'm not answering. I guess soul.
But no, go ahead. What's the spirit? Answer the first one.
I think like spirit is. There's so many. You know, it's like you said. Something you can't put your finger on. I mean, if we were Native Americans here, you know, the question would be answered probably in different ways than how we're going to interpret it or how we're explaining it right now. I mean, to me, I feel like it's something that you definitely can't put your finger on, right? I think there's something within, like, you know, within the definition of spirit that is something that, I don't know, like motivates your decisions, it motivates like your morality. I think it motivates like who you are. You know, like I feel guided spiritually by spirit in the things that I do daily. Hmm. You know, so I don't know if that. But no, as far
that's
as I've never,
why it's a, yeah, that's what's like three people to talk about this, because none of us are going to be.
Yeah,
but maybe somebody might hear it and go, "Oh, that's the little missing link I needed to help me."
Yeah.
Get to peace with this whole, all this shit that's bastardized and religiousized and then leveraged for personal gain and for creating ideologies. And it's ridiculous.
Mm. Well, it's like, you know how there's the whole thing of like spirits following you, like ghost.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm connected. Like when I think about like how like ancestors,
ancestors.
Not said that word.
Yeah.
Ancestors will visit me like as either a feather, you know?
Yeah.
That's like a Native American thing.
Right.
Or through animals. And I've been really paying attention to animals coming into my life recently, because this morning I was reading this morning meditation and it was all about love. Like God loving you, love, 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 love. And then this morning dove flew up on my porch and I was like, why is this thing visiting me? So I just Googled real quick and it was literally the morning dove visits you to send you God's love.
Mm. Wow.
So I was like, okay, there's like some spirit.
Yeah,
thing.
That's what you I'm saying. What I mean? Yeah, like, I believe that too. I mean, I believe there's like spirit guided things that are like uniquely for you. You know, I think that it can really push you into the rest of your day or the next, you know, whatever, you know what I mean? It's like, it's something that coincides in your existence. It's like I don't know, like, cause this is a hard word to say, but it's what I think about. It's like essence, but I can't even really tell you
like,
what that is.
Yeah. Like I could talk about birds. I could talk about what my heart feels
but
like.
But I definitely,
what my brain says.
But like, isn't like what's more concrete is like the spirit of addiction or the spirit of violence.
Yeah,
like you can see
bad spirits.
That, like, that's really clear. Like when I was addicted, when I was actively addicted, that was a spiritual malady that was controlling my reaction, and I was looking for all the signs to tell me, you know,
or a
spirit of violence or a spirit of judgment, just like those are so, it's so easy to see that. It's like, yeah, of course. But then you don't always notice the dove jumping on your porch, right?
Well, like I'll find myself in the morning, I'll go outside on my porch, have a cup of coffee. I don't hear anything. I pray, I meditate, I hear all the birds. And I'm like, whoa, like I'm awake. You know what I mean?
I love that,
It tripped me out this morning. I was like, what just happened? Because I was like, I was really trying to pay attention. And that happened this morning. And I was like, wow, like I just woke up. You know what I mean? Like I'm already physically awake, but I just woke up spiritually.
Right. Well, there, like, you know, there is, to me, when you say spirit too, I think of meditation and like health and wellness and like doing these, doing things that allows me to focus, be present, you know, be mindful of, you know, what's around me, notice things better. So, but I don't know if that would, could be a definition of spirit, right?
I
don't
know. I guess it could be. It's you. It's you and your experience.
It's me and my thing. But, you know, and then you were talking about, kind of like talking about these, bad spirits, right? And again, it's like an interpretation thing, because when I like, I was very sick this morning, right? Mad migraine, crazy. It was very hard for me to get to do anything today. And so I start off my day with this, like this vicious migraine, and I can't do anything. And then I go to attempt to do something, and all the gas pumps in Atlanta don't work, right? So I call my wife, and she's like, honey, the spirits, well, she, I don't know if she said spirits, but she's like, the spirits are telling you, you need to come home and stay in bed, right? This is not your day to be out. And I was like, and I was kind of being like sarcastic, I guess. I was like, nah, spirits are trying to keep me from being a part of a message.
Well, I was not, I did not feel spiritual today. Well, I guess I didn't even, I didn't feel not spiritual earlier in the day. And then there was a point in the day when it turned and I was like, oh, I definitely don't feel spiritual. All I felt was anger. And then I prayed and I got on my knees and I prayed and I just was like, I can't, I don't like anger on me anymore. I don't like it. It just, it's too heavy and it's stressful.
It's a dictator. And it's just, it's a dictator in your body.
You know, and I used to love it. Anger gets shit done, you know? And so I just pray and I just like, God, I can't, I need you to take this from me. Cause I can't, I don't know what the fuck to do with it. Like I don't know what's the, cognitive behavioral therapy process for changing my thinking about the anger. I wasn't even, I, it was in me and on me. And so I was, the only way I could get rid of it was I just had to pray.
I think that was a good move.
But I'm glad you didn't have any resistance today.
Well, I've, okay, so today was good, but I've had resistance recently, and long story short, I had a major spiritual awakening last weekend, and it started with me being stressed out about money, right? And I've learned recently that money is a relationship, you gotta treat it a certain way, blah, blah, blah. But I was stressed out about it, and I got this feeling when I was, like, going there, like, mentally in my brain, like, freaking out to go pray. So I walked to my room, and I just started shouting. I was like, dude, God, whatever's listening right now, like, I'm done. Like, take it. I don't want to try to control it anymore. Like, this is, like, take everything. Like, I'm done. And it was crazy because I ended up in the floor in tears in a ball. And I felt, you know how like a snake sheds its skin? That's what I felt. I felt like I was like shedding a layer of me. And then all of a sudden, like this thought of drinking flashed through my brain. And I felt like I was in this spiritual warfare in my brain where like one side of me was like, drink, drink, drink. The other side of me was like, I got you. Don't worry. I'll take care of you. And it was this weird thing because I like just got through it. And I was talking to my sponsor a few days later and I told her, I was like, I think I've officially shed the skin of greed.
Wow.
And it was like this major spiritual awakening because I've always tried to control that. I know I just went all the way out here.
No. You're segueing me right now. You're segueing me and you don't even know it right now. So this is great.
But like I like went there, and ever since then, like I even had an experience with a work thing where I was trying to make a sale. The people weren't vibing with me. I could feel like our vibrations weren't matching. Mm-hmm. And I just looked at them and I was like, I'm probably not the person for you. But if I was still in that greedy state of mind, I would have
kept pushing.
But at that moment, I realized I really shed that skin. Mm. And that's what happened when I was in the floor in tears. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I never realized that that's like I've gone through spiritual awakenings, but I've never had one like that where I feel like I was going, I need to go to like the loony bin.
Well, so that brings to mind, I've heard from multiple people who had a conversion experience in prison. And this the same, they described the same exact thing where they went back to their cell, they got on the ground, they were praying, they were crying. This flood of guilt and shame would hit them as they remembered some crime or some, and these were like lifer kind of guys, right? It's this crazy thing, and then a feeling of cold ice being poured over them, and then this feeling of elation and cleansing and back. And so they were crying and laughing and crying and laughing, and that was their conversion experience. That was their spiritual awakening.
Yeah.
And that's what you just described reminded me exactly of that. I've heard that.
I've always thought it was like this, like, light bulb moment where you're like, I'm floating. But I was like, I'm having like a mental breakdown. But my sponsor was like, you're having a spiritual awakening. I was like, well, that sounds prettier. So we'll go with that.
Yeah, right.
I'll take that.
Right.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Well, it's a little bit of like to your point earlier about that, about meditating and clearing you out of the way to have that conscious contact. It is a death in a sense, right? Mm-hmm. This death of an ego or a former self or a projection of who we think we are, right? And then when that projection starts to fade or gets broken up, you know, it's like it can feel like a death. It feels like this is insane.
I was exhausted the next day. I felt like I drank. Mm-hmm. Like I woke up and my eyes were baggy. Like I did not want to do anything. I was exhausted.
Beat down.
I felt like somebody like beat me up.
Wow.
But it was great. I felt great. Yeah. I've felt great since.
Yeah.
So I'm like, let's do it again, awesome. But not like.
That's, congratulations. Dude, thank you for sharing that.
I'm a little envious of you.
That's cool, man.
I got holy envy right now. You got to have that. But I think too, though, I think that this is the thing about the divine feminine, right? I think that there's such, with men, we're so tied to this egoic nature in a different way. I don't want to generalize. And I know there's like roles, gender roles, and I'm not trying to get into all that, but I'm just saying that I think that like women have such more faith and an ability to be connected to God in a way that men are just kind of what?
Yeah. Well,
we hold life in us.
Right.
There's there's also that part of us where we literally will hold a child inside of us. We create life.
Yeah, we can't relate to that.
Actually, these days you don't really need a man anymore.
Right.
But I mean,
slowly losing.
It's just falling and falling.
But I mean, I think that's for me. That's what I've always thought about. It's like, why I can carry a child. I can create a human being. So like that's
pretty gangster.
That makes me pretty.
That's pretty powerful.
Powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I'm not doing that anytime soon, but.
Yeah, it's like my own personal opinion that, you know, we're definitely not the toughest guys.
Right.
In any way. Maybe it's because I'm surrounded by, you know, I've been raised by women and surrounded by women my whole life. But But anyways, what you said about your spiritual awakening kind of could really segue us into the next question, which is, how has spirituality helped you in your recovery?
So I will say that in the beginning of my recovery journey, as I reflect back to it now, I think I had a real spiritual experience in rehab. There was something there. And when I got out of rehab and I was, you know, doing back to just going to meetings and stuff, I feel like I kind of took on a religious spirit as it pertained to my spiritual self, my true mm-hmm. self. And it hasn't been until these last couple years where I've felt that it's become everything now. To the point where it's like when I feel that anger, I don't want anger because mm-hmm. I know that anger blocks me. Well, I perceive it as blocking me from interacting with the spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm careful to always say like that I'm limiting God as if God, if I could limit God, it ain't God. But like, I think though it's been a progress, right? So yeah. I'm not shameful of the religious experience because it gave me a lot of things, and maybe I needed that in my recovery to get me past. I needed clear lanes and guardrails and rules to get me through the beginning. And now it's becoming more of a freer kind of life. And I think that's because of the spiritual component, and that's changed everything. It's so important for all of it. You know, mm-hmm. I think it's really made a significant difference in my life.
Well, I mean, as far as, well, how is it helping you in your recovery?
It helps me in my recovery because, it's a good question.
Who did this again?
Well, I think it helps me in my recovery because there's something bigger than me. This is what the great term about higher power, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not me.
Right.
And so if I can at least have the consolation that I've participated in something greater than me,
yeah.
and that's involvement in humanity and in creation on the planet, then that's a great consolation. That's everything. So that's how it's affected my recovery, because it's given me the motivation. And I guess for that, in that way, it's always done that.
Yeah.
It's always, you know, because I'm a Christian, it's always been about serving and loving other people. And mm-hmm. I can't really serve and love other people when I'm blowing a bunch of dope and, yeah. you know, running around the streets like a crazy person. I'm only serving myself. And so that's, I think, how it's affected my recovery, because it's made it to where, in order for me to be the most effective person on this planet and have the most impact, I need to be connected to God and God's will for my life. Yeah.
Real good. What about you, Liz?
Look at E-Man's just doing this shit with his eyes closed. What happened? The screen went blank.
Oh, there we go.
Oh. He tried to get cute. No.
Try to be real smooth with it.
So cute. Spirituality, how it's helped my recovery. I was like really listening to Christian, so I didn't even think about what I wanted to say. I think one of the main things, and it's going to just be really simple, is mm-hmm. that it relieved my alcoholism, you know?
Wow.
And like when I think about that, it's relieved that the thing that held me back the most in my life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Until like this point, like, 'cause I'm sober now, but the thing that held me back the most in my life, kept me in the dark, like kept me whatever. Since it relieved that, what else can it do?
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
It keeps me curious. It keeps me wanting to know more. Kind of like what you were talking about with the progress. Like it keeps me wanting to know, like, okay, so you got me this far. I don't want to drink anymore. And I'm like trusting you with just like all this random stuff that I'm just throwing at you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, what else can you do? Because it's like, it always, whenever I think about like this type of thing, I always think about where it talks about we trust infinite God, not our finite selves.
Mm-hmm. What a good thing to do. What a good choice to make.
And like, I always think about like when it says in the, our literature, when it talks about, we just made conscious contact with God. So it's not probable we are going to be inspired. I'm not saying it all wrong, but mm-hmm. it's not probable we're going to be inspired at all times, which means that like this is going to be a progressive relationship and I should treat it as if I treat a human being, right?
Right.
So it's like I have to give to get and I have to get to give. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it's like a 50-50 thing. It's kind of like when I talk about like meditation, the reason why I keep saying it is because I've learned recently that if I'm sitting there praying and praying and praying and I'm not taking time to listen, it's like calling a friend and saying, hey, my dishwasher is broken. How do I fix it? And then hanging up before they can give me the solution.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I heard that recently and I was
That's
like,
good. I like
I'm
that.
Taking that everywhere I go now.
Right.
Because I need to make sure that I'm listening.
And not just asking.
Because I know that if I stop listening, I'm closer to a drink than I am to like anything else. Because it can happen like that.
Yeah.
I could walk away from here in an hour, completely forget about all this stuff, and drink. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I have to stay in constant contact with this higher power, God, spirit of the universe, whatever.
Yeah.
Jesus, whatever we're calling it today.
Right.
Whatever works.
So it's like, there's a lot of ways that it helps me. It's like, I mean, I could go on like a whole, like, I could give you all the faith and all the history,
mm-hmm.
but it's like all I know at the end of the day is it relieved my alcoholism. So what else can it do? And also, I don't know what it can do.
Oh yeah, I like that.
You know?
Yeah, you don't even have any idea like where else, what else?
Yeah, I'm like
that's where the curiosity is.
You're telling
right?
me this thing is infinite. All right. Well, what is that?
Right.
Imagine if we really lived like that, though.
I mean, I'm not consistent, like, always.
But I'm just
way.
Saying, like, if we had that kind of, I don't say belief, faith, right? Like, and I know I keep referencing Christian stories because that's where all my knowledge is mostly.
Well, but you're Christian.
Yeah.
Christian.
You're Christian, Christian.
But, you know, like, you think about this, there's the story of Peter, you know, walking on water and mm-hmm. like, you know, and everyone talks when they talk about that account, right? They always talk about how he sunk, right? Because he took his eyes off Jesus. But everyone kind of just breezes over the past. This motherfucker
was walking
walked on water. And he was just a dude.
Yeah.
But he was like, you tell me to come and I'll go.
Well, who was the dude in the lion's den?
Daniel
in the lion's den. He didn't get eaten by the lions.
Right.
They hung out.
They just kicked it.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Like that's
in the spiritual world right there, boy.
Like you're literally thrown in a den with lions and you're just chilling with them.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Like that's some powerful great
Or
stuff.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they're thrown in the flame. Fire.
Oh yeah.
And they're just like.
And they're like, who's that fourth guy in there? And they don't get burned. And then when they come out, then the king's like, okay, I'm not messing with y'all.
Or it's like when, it's Jesus that turned water into wine. I haven't been to like church in forever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, this dude turned water into wine?
Yeah.
That's the kind of friend I needed back
in the day.
that's spiritual.
There's a really funny meme with like Jesus at the bar with his homies, and he's like, I'll just take 12 waters, and he winks at his disciples.
I got it. Keep your money in your pocket, boys.
But like even, so it's like, you don't have to believe in those things for them to give you some sort of information, especially if it confirms your experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? If your experience is like when you put your faith in like this situation you brought up about knowing that normally you would have just pushed until you got the client because you felt like you needed the money and then going kind of graduating to, well, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
Like yeah, I see that as a big time spiritual growth.
Right.
You know, that's just my opinion, but that's the definition of it right there where you are saying no to this like, this greed mm-hmm. of you wanting to like get this thing.
Yeah.
You know, even though inside you're like, I'm not vibing off of him. This is probably isn't going to work out that well. But you could say, even though this ain't going to might not be the best situation, let me get that bread.
Yeah.
And we'll just keep moving for you to like, to have like an honesty in you and be led to say, hey, you know, maybe this isn't the right direction. You know, maybe we don't move the same way. And you might want to go. That's big, especially in like in this world of like wanting to win, you know, and want more, you know, to, I think it's spiritual, you know, and that's, there's like humility all in that. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's messing with your pride not to seal the deal a little bit, right?
Yeah, totally.
So to face those things and have a good, have the right perspective in that situation is, that's a spiritual awakening within itself, I think.
I wonder if, if greed's more associated with fear. Like, I know for me, that's been the thing. Like, I know a lot of my financial motive, like, I've been motivated financially because of fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think, well, if I don't get this job in, then they're gonna come take my house tomorrow.
Right,
it's completely irrational.
Yeah, well, it's never for me. Like, it's never for me. Like, oh yeah, I want this. You know, I want to be on this yacht, like in the palm trees and all that. When I think about myself being greedy to me is all in fear. It's like I'm losing everything, and I gotta cut this corner, or I gotta cut this dude and get in front of him to get what I gotta get. If not, I'm gonna have nothing. You know, so it's always led by fear for me. It's not like, you know, a Puff Daddy, a P. Diddy revelation. Like,
how
I want to be like Diddy.
How many kookaroos do you own?
Yeah.
Well, like, what y'all made me think about is recently I've heard, which made me realize I was living in greed, was I heard this woman say one time, whenever you're living in fear, check what defect you're living out of and then go from there.
Because
that's what you're actually need to ask God to remove.
To remove that defect. We just talked about that not long ago. Like getting to the root of it.
Yeah.
You know, oh, man, I'm greedy.
I walk around in fear, blah, blah, blah. But like usually it's my pride. That week was my greed, you know. The majority of the time it's my pride. I'm not really, we're still letting her go. She's still up.
She's still hanging out.
Yeah. She's still lingering.
She's still useful on some level.
She's still stirring the pot.
Yeah.
I kind of want to stand. Like, I just want to. Can you? Do you guys mind if I give my answer to this?
Yeah, go
you guys
for it. Mind?
You know, to me, right? So, I think I went through like a pink cloud of both things when it comes to spirituality and recovery, right? So, when I first was this saved, right? When I first came to believe that Jesus is God, you know, that's my faith, right? And things started happening that was like beyond. You know, some things are just unexplainable, and it was beyond coincidence
they
the way things are. Yeah,
nice.
I like that. Right, so now I'm in this cloud of things, and I do want to be. I want to quit using drugs. Right? I'm done with it. And I do it like, and I'm led. I feel at the time like, you know, my spirituality and how God works and all these things and my faith and like. All that thing, I feel like I don't need anything else but that to live a happy, functional, sober life, right? And it kind of, and I rocked out with it for a second, a very short second, right? And then when temptation and things like that or life situations faced me, I failed and I relapsed, man, because I had nowhere else to go with it. You know what I mean? And then I like rode kind of like the idea of like following these steps and like, you know, living by these set of rules to guide my sobriety, right? So now I'm all into, you know, going to these meetings, hooking up with somebody cool that like knows a little bit, having those kind of conversations and, you know, going to like the functions and like being like a part of that network. I was like, I'm just going to hang out with these cats and I just won't get high and like we'll have fun and stuff like that. You know what I mean? But it still didn't work out, you know? So it wasn't until like, and then they kind of like meshed together really. And that worked, right? And I can't really tell you exactly how it like goes hand in hand, but I needed the tools. I think God gave me the tools. You know what I mean? And I definitely needed God to go beyond like me or what I'm capable of doing, which is, in my opinion, very little when it comes to those types of situations and everything. But like today, like right now, I feel like, you know, because I'm going through the steps again, right? And I'm doing it in a whole different aspect of my life, really, where like sobriety isn't really the main issue. It's really recovery. You know what I mean? Like how are these steps can these steps in my spirituality like help me in the obstacles that I'm facing in my day-to-day life, like really dealing with life on life stuff without like shattering, oh, I didn't use today, you know, hey man, cool, you didn't use one day at a time, nothing like that, right? So, you know, it's pertaining
like
to,
yeah,
like, that, the thing. Yeah.
Little
so like yeah. if I'm not ran, what's the word I wanna use? Like if I'm not looking at this from beyond me, then it just doesn't work regardless of the tools. You know what I mean? And if I don't use this format for me, okay, that I doubt I would. I'd probably be a believer in a faith while I'm high, getting high over and over again. That's probably how it would work out, you know. But anyways.
That's good. I like how you broke that down.
And
I like how that it was a process, and then you're talking about the tools, and you needed the tools with the spirituality,
yeah.
That it was together, those things working.
It had to be like that for me. You know what I'm saying? That's how it worked for me. You know, I'm speaking for myself.
Those tools are important.
They are, man. And it has to go beyond you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like even me like doing the use. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, God has like put these things around me, like almost a shield, almost to like it's like a protection of me that's beyond me. I'm just like walking through this thing, man.
I call it bubble wrap.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like fine china, so God just bubble wraps me. Yeah. He just keeps adding layers.
Yes.
Layers.
Yeah.
So I'm just real safe.
It is. It's
can't break me.
Right. Right. I just can see you walking around in bubble wrap.
Bumping a little pop, boop. She's good.
Just put a little duct tape on me.
So here's a cool question. And I'm interested to hear both of your answers, is what spiritual practices do you implement or have you implemented?
Well, I've talked a lot about prayer and meditation.
Yeah.
Yeah, prayer and meditation.
I got to keep it simple.
Right.
But I also do like to like read. Mm-hmm. You know, like I got into the book, The Four Agreements.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a great one.
And sometimes my uncle... runs a church, so sometimes I'll like pop on his like live on Sunday mornings and just like have it play in the background, just like let it go into my subconscious, you know. So, or like talking to birds, apparently that's a new thing that I do. Looking for feathers.
Yeah, you don't even know how much I relate to that though, like really.
Well, like I find myself like, you know, like sometimes you'll be driving and you'll just like, it feels like you kind of like black out, but like you don't, but like you feel like someone got you.
Yeah,
there.
What do they call that? There's a word for that. There's like road hypnotized or something like that.
Oh, I don't know. I forget the exactly what you're being.
Yeah, but I know what you're saying.
Like I don't even remember driving here.
Yeah,
you're just
you
park?
Like got there.
You're just
parking. Like, you pull up to work, you're like, wait, how did I get here?
Right.
Did I brush my teeth this morning? But I found myself the other morning like being pulled. I know it's totally not the question, but like I found myself being pulled down this road. And when I turned on this road, there was like this cardinal, you know, cardinals mean like death of a loved one is mm-hmm. visiting you. And I was like, what the hell is happening? But anyways, one of the things that I just like, really
what does the barking dog mean?
The barking dog. I could pull my phone out and Google it.
Something is outside.
Search, why is Paris barking?
Yeah,
it's out of the ordinary.
What does this mean?
Sorry.
but yeah, I mean, prayer and meditation is probably the most important thing that I really, really do. Because I need to speak, and then I also need to listen. But also, like, the whole other thing that I haven't even mentioned is, like, helping another person, whether it be an alcoholic or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right. That is, like, a huge spiritual practice for me. Because I love when I talk to people, I usually hear when I'm talking back to them, I'm literally hearing what I need to hear.
Wow, that's a therapeutic value.
Well, also, it's another form of prayer. Because think about when you call somebody to share, right?
Yeah.
When you're like going through it, you're telling them everything that's happening, then all of a sudden you feel the God speak through them. That's the meditation piece of the phone call.
I love that.
So it's like, it's another form of prayer and meditation. There's so many ways you can do it.
Like the presence is there in this back and forth.
Yeah.
It's just not your thoughts or his thoughts coming back and forth. There's something beyond that in this conversation.
Yeah. Like, have
especially
you ever been
when
on
it
phone?
Comes in service.
Yeah. And have you ever been on the phone? You're like, I don't know why I'm about to say this, but I feel like you need to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, you don't even know what you just said, but you know you said it.
Mm. Yeah.
It's like trippy.
It just comes in. It's not planned out.
I'm going to keep doing this. I don't want to smoke weed anymore. Yeah. I like this stuff way too much.
Oh, yeah. I'm way more trippier than when I'm sober than if I'm smoking. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
So how do you see spirituality?
Well, it just kind of like made me think, like, is that what a spiritual practice is? Is an experience of participating with an interaction with spirit, right? Is that what a spiritual practice really is? And I think I've always thought of it as a spiritual discipline, right? Like, I got to read this and I got to pray this way. Mm-hmm. And if I don't do that, then I'm going to have a bad day. And I better do it, and I better do it right. And I think a pathway for me that really opened up, a spiritual practice that really opened up things for me, is trees.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Not smoking trees.
Oh. Oh, my bad. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. All right, go ahead now. Okay, let me get back where you're talking. What are you saying about trees?
Well, like Thich Nhat Hanh has this meditation, and he says, you have to be in the present moment because the tree is in the present moment. And in the tree, I see the cosmos in the tree. I see the sun in the tree because the tree doesn't grow without the sun. Mm-hmm. I see the cloud in the tree because the tree doesn't grow without the rain. Mm-hmm. I see the earth in the tree because the tree doesn't grow without the nutrients of the ground. And it's just like I look at a tree and I think, well, that tree's pretty content with being a tree. It's not going, I really wish I was a palm tree in California right now.
I wish I could walk.
Well, yeah. Right.
I wish I could talk.
But it's like, and then you think of everything a tree has to go through, like from a seed and the dirt that it has to pull and push through, and then it comes out of the ground, and then it gets peed on and bugs on it.
Climbed on.
And it grows up to where it can get climbed, and then the wind, and then if there's not enough wind, then the roots don't grow deep enough. And then once it does get to be towering, and so it's like, I probably experience God through a tree more than I experience in almost any other place. I just look at a tree and I just go, whoa.
It's like you see, like existence or life or beyond. I don't know. It's like
it's like the tree in Pocahontas.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen Pocahontas.
You need to watch it after saying that about a tree. Because the tree and I can't. Have you ever seen it?
Mm-hmm.
It talks to Pocahontas.
Say no more.
Yeah, you need to watch it. Also, it talks.
Have you ever seen?
That movie
makes me cry. Just sidebar.
And so I can connect with that in any time.
Mm-hmm.
I just look.
Yeah.
Do you feel that connection by just like observing a tree?
Yeah. And I think it's when I'm practicing all of them. And also when I pray, if I pray on my knees in a specific position.
That's a practice. There you go.
That is definitely way different. Then, because I'm pretty good at public prayers, and so I'm pretty poetic with it, you know.
You nice. I've been there. You all right?
It's all right. But it's different when I get on my knees and I get into this very specific position. It's like, oh, this means something. I'm putting myself. And the thing that really led me to that was in seminary. One of the months we practice Islam. And in the Islam practice, I chose the Sufi prayer, which is a kind of an adjustment to the Islamic prayer that you see when the sun they pray three times a day, and they lay their rug down and they face to the east, and then they'll get down and they put their hands out and then they get up and they do this whole
physical. Man, there's something really beautiful about that in cadence.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So when the prayer
that's really very beautiful.
And the body is connected.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this incarnation of divine thing happening, because as you say the word, the motion is connected to the word, and so the prayer and it connects to your body in a profound way. It was like that was one of the biggest practices that I did that really changed prayer for me, because it was this physical movement, and I don't know why I haven't gone back to it, because it really did change my prayer. it made it more real and more natural. It wasn't just like
more connected, maybe.
Like yeah, more. It's just more real. The process, like, yeah, not this like.
Again, I think that like when you see it, I don't know what it is. Like, there's so many things that you see like that are practiced by Muslims that are so cool to me. Like when they make the trek to Mecca and they walk. Like together, like I don't know
around
I don't know what that temple's called, but that's
yeah.
really cool, man. You know what I mean? And then knowing that, like, there's something, there's a completeness into like everybody, like it being like common amongst everybody to like gather there at least once in their life to make it to that place and do those things.
Yeah.
So there's something that I like about that whole process. It's almost like, did you guys ever see Life of Pi?
Yeah. With a tiger on the boat.
Mm-mm. Oh, you gotta watch that.
It's gonna make me cry.
Probably.
Yeah.
I like how she's like, "God damn it!" But that's why. But anyways, so yeah. Spirituality.
But he talks about how you know Muslims do that, and I do really like that.
So to that point,
echoing,
yeah. It's coming out of seven. But to that point, I think this is what. And this might lead to one of the questions, which mm-hmm. is this is where religion plays a great part, right? Mm-hmm. And the big book says we should look to spiritual people to see what they have to offer, right? Mm-hmm. And when I look at Buddhist practice, I look at Islamic practice, even some Hindu practice. And
oh, man.
I see this thing and I go, wow, that really... That works. It's helpful. Mm-hmm. And so I really...
Yeah, because, you know, I think, like I said at the beginning when you said, what is God, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, to me, it brings up this division, right? Mm-hmm. Who's God? Who's your God? Who's my God? I believe God is this, right?
I got to beat up your God.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. So it kind of, like, makes you feel... It used to make me feel... I'm more outward about, like, what I love about different religions or different religious practices, right? I'm more outwardly open to even discussing them now than I've ever was before. And I think that's like a spiritual growth in me, right? Mm-hmm. To be like honest about, like not holding in and say, oh, I don't like that because, you know, I'm a Christian, man. And, you know, Jesus, people ain't supposed to do that or something.
Well, I'd say if it's true, it's true, it's true.
Right.
Right. If it's true,
it's true.
Right. Gravity works. It just does. Yeah. It doesn't matter. You can be like, I don't believe in gravity. But that shit, you know, test it. It's real.
Yeah.
So if something is real,
yeah,
which I think is maybe what we talk about when we talk about God. It's
the truth
thing. Yeah.
The realness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Truth is a whole thing.
Yeah, it might be a different thing. Yeah.
My truth is. Just need to speak.
Well, that's what they say in the rules. My God, who I choose to say is Jesus.
That is what they say. Yeah. And yeah, I'm just sitting there like, you could have just cut all that out and been like, well, I believe in Jesus. And yeah. Like, that's a thing.
Right. But like, you know, when you see like Buddhists, man, when they go to the temple, man, and they're like doing the golden child thing when they're spinning it and they're like, they're doing that in cadence and their prayers and they're like the way they do, like the way they do their thing. It's like beautiful to me to watch, man. Mm-hmm. You know, are all the like, you know, to me, man, I don't know if it's because like, culture means a lot to me. I love culture, and I got somewhere in these religious practices are traditions and cultures, right? Yep. And so I love that, man. Mm-hmm. You know, that's I like it, man. And I'm not ashamed to say that just because I believe, you know, right. in a certain thing. You know,
well, I think that's key, and I think like if there are some takeaways that I would, you know, is I do like that concept of looking to religious those practices and what are those practices and what sticks out as something that works for you. And because when I had that experience of going through seminary, you know, it's an interfaith seminary. So I'm in there with a bunch of other people and a lot of people, most people in there in the seminary were not steeped in a faith, right? Mm-hmm. They hadn't kind of had this is a path I'm on. And I think for a lot of us in recovery, we have so many like pre-ideas about what a faith path is. And like a lot of people are like growing towards Eastern philosophy and Eastern religions because, well, it's just not this Western idea of God that's yeah. just harmed me and rejected me and judged me and made me feel ostracized. And so And then they kind of go to like, you know, it's like somebody sends me the Tao daily, which is like cool. But like, do you know how far off we are from even like close to what any of that Tao teaching is? Like, it's so, but what is valuable in it? And I'm talking a lot, I'm gonna stop now. But there's an email I get, and it's the Daily Ponderables. This guy, Stephen Todd, sends it out without fail every Monday morning, about 5:30 in the morning. I mean, every morning, not Monday, every morning. And in it, he's got like the thought of the day. He's got, you know, as Bill sees it, he's got Indian practice or kind of philosophy. He's got Buddhism. There's the Tao daily. There's all this stuff in there, and it's all in one email. And it comes, so it's like when you get the email and you're like, I really don't want to read another, you know, AA thing. Let me just scroll down to what the Native American thing is. And so there's something to be had from that email, no matter what kind of mood you're in. That's really cool.
There's a takeaway.
Yeah.
There's a takeaway in there.
Yeah.
All right, let's move along here, guys. That was great answers, by the way. I love this. Do we got time for a couple more, Christian?
I think so.
All right, cool. Let's do, how does religion fit into your recovery? We just did that, right?
Yeah.
All right,
I'm still learning about that, so I was just listening to you guys. Like, I'm still, like, learning about.
Me too, man.
My mind just got opened, like, recently, not with.
I'm with you.
You know, like I'm 100%. Still learning. Yeah. I've always been like, I think the closest thing that I connect to is Buddhism because I just really like the culture, like what you're talking about. But I'm still learning.
I dig it, man. And that's awesome.
And stay learning.
Yeah,
I got my foundation, so I'm like, let's build.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
That's honest and real, man. So, guys. Bill W. says that the 12 Steps program is a spiritual kindergarten. Do you agree?
Okay, what does that mean? I read that question earlier and I was like, what does this mean?
Have you read that?
I've never heard that before.
That's a spiritual kindergarten?
Mm-mm.
I think it's in this Bill Sees It, which comes out of, I don't know where that as Bill Sees It's quoting it. But yeah, he says what we really are creating here is a spiritual kindergarten. And I really love that idea because, you know, and I think of Jesus saying you got to be like these little kids, you know, like when the kids are all around and they're like, dude, get these kids out of here. We're doing adult spiritual stuff. Yeah. And he's like, hold up. Unless you become like one of these children, these kids, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven.
That's right.
Like, and if you think of a child as like full of wonderment and
innocence,
honesty. And they tell you honestly what they think.
They're sincere. Yeah.
They're sincere.
We really screw it all up as adults.
Right. So
it's
like really a spiritual kindergarten. Like, yeah. And I've been spending so much of my life to try to not be this. Like I wanted to be you know, and I just love the idea of a spiritual kindergarten. I'll see if I can find where he quotes that.
Well, it kind of makes sense what y'all are talking about. And I can agree with that because of my favorite thing that the book has ever said, which is God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free.
Mm.
And when I think about myself in kindergarten, I was very happy. I was very joyous and I was very free. I mean, swinging on those swings in kindergarten.
Like joy, man.
Yeah. I'm happy because I'm on the swing. I'm joyful because I'm swinging. And I'm free because I'm literally flying.
Yeah, they're not like, there's nothing hidden. Like, they're not going, I don't want to do this. I don't want to offend nobody. Oh, I'm not going to do this because this is going to be, like, embarrassing to me.
Yeah.
This is going to mess with my own self-built up ego and pride of who I think I am.
I'm not going to let this happen because you're going to.
Yeah, that's it, man. You're just living, man.
Yeah.
So this is a letter. It was wrote in a letter, 1954. As Bill sees it, he says, we are only operating a spiritual kindergarten in which people are enabled to get over drinking and find the grace to go on living to better effect. Each man's theology has to be his own quest, his own affair.
Hmm.
Like, yeah, that kills the whole, like,
I love it.
Yeah, that kills a lot of stuff. Like, yo, don't, you know, bring all that, like,
yeah,
you know, it's a kindergarten, man. You listen, use your spirituality to your advantage to keep yourself in recovery, keep right. yourself sober, right. you yeah. know, wherever it comes from.
Well, it also, like, when you think about how we're told we can have our God of our own understanding, that's imagination. Mm-hmm. Every kid in kindergarten has imagination.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's the whole point. It's wanting us to imagine something that will take care of us. It yeah. like ignites that in our brains. So that's at least what it did for me.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. I love the idea of higher power that in the Celebrate Recovery, they say in their first beatitude or whatever, it's like, realize I am not God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there is a God
mm-hmm.
and I'm not him
mm-hmm.
or it. And I that's what I like about the concept of higher power, especially as it's broke down in the second and third step, is it's a lot of people get hung up on what it is and pontificating and philosophizing yeah. all that. And it really doesn't matter what it is. It's just not you.
Yeah.
Like, that's the first thing. And I have seen people who really struggle with that concept and they just can't seem to get recovery. And I think it's because they fail to really that thing. Suleiman, who's been on the show and he's up in
love that dude doing that work in Philly, boy.
Suleiman shares in his story and
putting that work.
I can share this because I know he shares this publicly, and that there was a time when he had gotten out of rehab and he had gotten paid, and he took the train home and he really wanted to get high, and he called like everybody, and no one picked up, and he said he heard this audible voice, it's just you and me. And it was when it was about his recovery was about him and God at that moment, just him and God. And that was a defining moment for him because that truly is, there are times when the fellowship isn't going to be quite enough.
Oh yeah.
Right. It's not going to, sure. the literature is going to be like, yeah. I cannot read another word.
Right.
And those are the times when we have to hang on to this higher power, God, the spiritual idea.
Mm-hmm.
And Mitchell always talks about this spiritual currency, right? That it's like you had a good day, right? And some of us, we have these good days, but we still do the spiritual practice because on those inevitable days that we have the bad day, you have this spiritual currency kind of built up, right?
Yep.
There's this connection that's already established. And I think it's just so key.
Shout out to Mitchell putting in that work.
Yeah.
In Serenbe.
Yeah.
That boy.
Serenbe.
Serenbe.
Nice.
Love Mitchell, man. But, you know, I was just, man, while you guys are talking, man, I know
my wheels are like spinning.
I just thought, like, you know, you talked about these, you know, being caught up in your own religion and all that, and your pontifications, as you put it, right? Can you imagine, like, you know, you're standing on that soapbox of your religion, and then a sick and suffering addict comes and says, "Man, you know, I need help," and you're standing on top of your religion saying, "Oh, you know." Like, that's why you need the rooms, man. Like, you need this like a group of open-minded people, you know, that are willing to like just, you know, help.
There's no,
and not putting those circumstances of like who God is right. on the plate. You know what I mean? But telling you that you need a higher power to get through this at the same right. time.
That's why there's no place I can feel more confident to send someone than to a 12-step. Group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's someone who's that. Got a somebody who's like they have a loved one who's suffering, I always go to Al-Anon because you're going to find I can help you a little bit, but I'm an addict, so I only have some. But
yeah,
go to that room.
Yeah, I dealt with that recently.
Yeah.
I had someone call me and ask me, "What does it mean to be an alcoholic?" because I'm dealing with one. So I told him, I was like, "Well, this is like what I went through. This is how my brain works. This is like what the malady is, this is all this." And he was like, "I just still don't understand." And I'm like, "Because you haven't experienced it, you know?" And so I told him, I was like, "You should probably check out Al-Anon. Because like, I can't, like you said, like I can't really help you because I'm an addict.
Right.
I can tell you what I go through. That's all I got. I can't tell you how to like work with me.
Right.
Because I can barely work with me sometimes. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. I love that. That's good.
But it's like I'm confident that if someone goes to one of those 12-step rooms, more often than not, they're going to be met with love, tolerance, and kindness.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
For sure.
That is much needed in that situation.
I can't send them to, there's no congregation I know that I could confidently send some of the people I talk to. I'm not sure that they're not going to get some kind of, you know, it really is to me. It is the way, the truth of life in a lot of ways.
It is, man.
You know, cause we've all experienced it, you know, and I only know you in sobriety. Right. Mm-hmm. But even in just the time that I've known you, just seeing you, Liz, as somebody who really is active in your recovery and participates in it, it's like every time I see you, there's these leaps and bounds, this growth.
And this has a great knowledge of it. Like, you know what's going on, you know what I mean? And to be like vulnerable enough to just tell that, you know, that whole spiritual awakening, man, like kind of like made like the hairs on my arm stand up a little bit. Like when you were explaining, I needed to hear that, man. Gave me something there, man.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good place.
Emmanuel, don't do it, bro.
What's he doing?
He's playing with a lighter. I don't know. Emmanuel's losing.
Emmanuel, come on, bro. It's almost over, bro. All right.
And he's drinking Pepsi.
He's gonna light the keyboard on fire.
Take it easy, dog.
Chill.
Look at his hair and his headphones.
Yeah. He's losing it listening to us. All right.
Thank you guys. Thank you everyone, man, for joining us on this topic. I hope that, you know, these are a big topic. You can talk for days and days, and I don't think there's any on any of this. There's any like true definition that you can really put in words. I think you guys,
based on experience.
Yeah. I think you guys did a really great job, explaining it, how you see spirituality, recovery, God, and all those great big things. And we appreciate you guys for tuning in with us. Remember, you guys, listen, it's all about the Most High app here. Download the app, okay? There's great discussion, great spiritual talks, great documentaries, great recovery, great topics, you know, that are for real, that are sincere. It is a Netflix of recovery and spirituality, you guys.
A Netflix?
I love you guys.
Yeah.
Love you.
Peace.